entrepreneurship, small business creation, home ownership, and collaboration have always been the backbone of our local economies. With all of that under threat and communities fighting against further division, Conversation Mill turns on the mic for everyday difference makers in our local communities. Whether they be farmers, mayors, builders, creators, or doers. Every week, join me, Rebecca Dale, here in Conversation. So many of us want to be free from the boxes that working for a corporation puts us in. How, when, where we do something, what we say, or sometimes even what we think is restricted. And then the pay. All too often, the really great work of the most dedicated employees gets undervalued. Meanwhile, corporate CEOs make millions of dollars. Of course, this is not the case with all large-scale employers. But let's be honest. Most employers are not encouraging their team members to follow their dreams or to learn enough in their current roles to go and start their own successful business. And we see it time and time again. Money is the root of all evil. And while that may sound dramatic, it drives owners and board members and shareholders, managers and leaders to believe things like, you need us more than we need you. One, because we currently have the money, so you're not going to be able to get it on your own. And two, because we don't want to lose the money that your leaving might cause us to lose. Yet we know there is enough business to go around. And it does not need to be consolidated to one fast food chain or one big box store or to a few big name gyms. Today, my conversation is with Jordan Wong and Josh Wilson. I have known them both for years, and in the first iteration of our relationship, it was as a manager and employees. Jordan and Josh were both trainers in the fitness centers in Southwest Florida that I managed. After I left that position, after the company had been sold, and then the pandemic hit, I started working out in Jordan's garage, where I would run into Josh. Today, we're going to share their journey to owning their own gyms from that pandemic garage. But before they do that, I want to share how they continue to inspire me. Both Josh and Jordan took a risk. Now, we'll talk about it. It was a calculated risk. They built out some foundations before jumping in, but a risk all the same. They took this risk to pursue a lifestyle they believe in and to create a lifestyle that they want. By doing this, they have cultivated community, bringing together diverse groups of people to achieve various goals and form friendships and relationships that they wouldn't have otherwise. They've stayed authentically themselves. Jordan will notoriously make fun of anything and anyone, because we are all equally deserving of being called out on our stupid shit. In my opinion, that's true equality. They aren't out here waving a flag, look at us living the American dream. But they're executing that American dream as it's supposed to work. I take some risk. I work hard. I treat my neighbors right. I contribute to my community and the people around me. And I am rewarded with freedom. I have the freedom of ownership over my time. I have freedom over my paycheck, my thoughts. I have freedom of speech, and I have ownership over the things I own. You can quote your Jeff Bezos's or your Sam Walton's. You can have a dream of hanging out with someone like an Elon Musk or others. But truth be told, I'd always rather be sitting in conversation with individuals like Jordan and Josh. I'd also rather be hanging out with them and lifting with them or working out with them because I know they're going to give it to me straight. I know they have my back like I have theirs, and I know that they are genuine in what they say and do. It's time that we start valuing conversations with men like this instead of leaders of giant corporations who are subtly or not so subtly trying to get you to believe that you need them to be successful or survive. But enough of my soapbox. I will let them speak for themselves. So join us now in conversation. Please welcome my friends, powerlifting athletes and business owners, Jordan Wong and Josh Wilson. All right, so Josh, let's start with you. Tell us about your gym, where it's located, how long you've had it.
So my gym is in Sarasota. I advertise it as a semi-private training facility minutes from downtown Sarasota. So it's literally is that about 5 minutes outside of downtown Sarasota, which is nice because it's not congested and being downtown, but so other people can access it. So that works pretty well. It's a lone standing building and I've had it for a year and a half now.
Nice. What made you start your own facility?
So I guess maybe 4 years ago, I started my own personal training business when we opened Nonstop Fitness. Mm-hmm. And I was doing really well with that. And then, you know, I was given the choice after doing that for 2 years to either go find a new gym and do the same thing, pay somebody rent and just kind of run my own business inside of them and underneath them. But I didn't really want to be as, you know, have somebody else deciding, you know, what I did with my life. So I decided to, you know, go and do it. Honestly, Jordan kind of paved the way in my head to kind of, you know, just go out there and take the chance. And he probably doesn't even remember this, but we had a conversation via text and I was just saying that that's something I really wanted to do. And he's probably at this time was like a year and a half into it. And I remember him saying just, you know, what's the worst thing that could happen? You move in with your mom for 6 months and then you figure it out and you go off and do your own thing. So since then, I've kind of been like, just don't turn back and make it happen.
That's awesome. Jordan, tell us a little bit about your facility. Yeah, same question.
Yeah, so the gym is called Showcase Strength and Fitness. We're located in Northport, Florida. It's about 40 minutes south of Josh's place. Actually, like 50 minutes because he's more north. Yeah, so like very similar story. I would say that this was kind of forced to have to start on my end. And I really more so started it not for me, but for like everyone else that I was like friends with and I lifted with and trained and all that. So 4 years ago, we did the whole shutdown with COVID through a gym around the clock fitness, which you're affiliated with. Mm-hmm. And that closed. We reopened. So when we closed, I ran the gym out of my garage, which was not like this place Showcase was not really a thought yet until I did that. And you actually, there's like a big circle of like inspiration, yeah. Right? Yeah. Like you had me start an LLC and kind of had me look at places for any potential gyms moving forward after COVID was done. And that didn't really work out just because the structure and honestly, like I would say like maybe even the finances and the mindset wasn't there yet. So I went back to around the clock. Honestly, the gym that I had going kind of continued by default because a lot of people still wanted to come to my garage. So I was conducting like business there, which shouldn't have been doing by the stuff with my, I guess, real job, but I was doing it anyways. September, the very end of September, we had a call that they were shutting down around the clock. And I think we had options to go to different gyms and things like that. And I just didn't do it because I luckily had a side gig going, which again, I shouldn't have had going technically, but I kept that going, doubled down on it. My house at the time was about 3 minutes down the street from where I'm currently at. And I've always seen this building. I made a phone call. We came and looked at it. I was going to open, so I'm in two units. I was going to open one unit up and just make it a personal training studio. And kind of make it a, kind of like he said, like a private-ish gym just for my friends. And then I was suggested by my friend Joe, who is in real estate, just get both units and make it a real gym. And at first I was like, no, I don't think that's going to work. And I kind of thought back to what you said and the whole, like you told me once that the most successful people, they're not the smartest, they just have the biggest balls, metaphorically. And I was like, well, fuck it. Like, let's just do that. And I'm glad I did because it pretty much forced me to have to do it. And that's kind of how I operate. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So like, yeah, that's a story. That's the beginning story.
For both of you and whoever wants to take this question first, but do you think that there was something that you had, like, do you have to have a certain set of skills or personality? We've all sort of inspired and pushed each other. Is that key or is it like something else?
I think there needs to be some sort of skill. I mean, like anyone can start something, but for it to last or be successful or like provide value to people, you have to be, I guess the word is like smart in different areas or at least be able to figure out certain things. Like me, when I started, I always tell people, I think the best thing for me was working at around the clock because it was like free on the job training. I was, I guess the word would be like mentored, right? By Dave Alex, who was a personal training manager there, you, because we were all pretty close. And I feel like even though you were at the time, like the head boss of everyone, I guess would be the term. I think you and I kind of clicked in a different way that you clicked with other people. Like you understood like how I operated. So like I would always talk to you about things. And I think you always knew like the end result would probably be not there maybe. Cause like, remember we had a conversation about, do you want to move up in the company or do you want to train people? Like moving up in the company at the time at like being the general manager, which was for memberships, promotion of the gym, the operations and stuff like that. And at the time I was like, well, I don't want to do that because I just like training people. Now I wish I kind of had more time and did that because that would have been better for where I'm at now. Cause like when I really do like self-assessment on where the business is and where myself, where I am, I'm almost in that spot still because it's just like a one man show. Like I'm handling all the people. I have to, like, we're not big enough for me to hire staff. So like I have to manage everything at once and kind of shift focus from training people. I run an online training business as well, which pretty much goes hand in hand with this place. And that's a big workload. Have to keep on top of everything here, push the memberships, do all the billing, do all the management of that, all the non-payments, you know, all that stuff. And then it kind of just came full circle. So like lately I've been jotting down like systems I need to put into place and just shift focus in different areas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think definitely it's kind of cool how we went, you know, like full circle, like you motivated Jordan and then Jordan motivated me. And, you know, I got to see you guys kind of pushing each other and stuff. But I would say in a funny way, you have to be stubborn, and just that stubbornness is unwilling to give up and listen to anybody else. So I think that, and I kind of think maybe a little different than what Jordan said is, you know, you don't have to be necessarily, in my mind, that skilled. You just have to have the work ethic. So you have to be just unwilling to give up, and you have to have that work ethic, because if you do, you can develop the skills through that work ethic that you have. But you can't be lazy at all, you know, and you just, you know, you figure it out after a while. If you have those two things, then you will be successful.
What do you guys think is the biggest misunderstanding of gym ownership, even on like the smaller scale that you're doing it?
To me, so we both, you know, like by trade, we're personal trainers, right? And I think Jordan would probably agree that personal training is probably, I mean, we're both still trainers, but that's probably 5% of what we do in our daily life now. So the gym ownership stuff kind of takes over. And there's a lot of small things that you don't realize that you have to take care of. And then after you see it, you're like, well, duh, who does that? You know, obviously it's on me. But yeah, I think just a lot of that, a lot of being organized and building relationships to me is one of the most important things. And that's something, you know, some things like intangible things that you don't think about.
Yeah.
That really get you there.
I think this answer could go like many different ways. So like I've come up in two different settings. Like one was I compete in powerlifting. So I've been around a lot of like big strength gyms, small strength gyms that are like somewhat corporate, strength gyms that are like myself, where it's just me or like me and one other guy. I don't have anyone else running this with me, but other gyms, it's like two small owners, right?
Right.
It's like co-owners. And I've been around like the whole commercial gym aspect, which is, I've only been around them as an employer or employee, I mean. Mm-hmm. And like when you look at it from the broad view, the whole gym ownership misconceptions could go like many different ways. So like with the world I'm from, with like the strength world, a lot of these gyms are smaller, self-operated, and they kind of run on their own. So like, for example, I could go away for a week. I have a keypad on the door. It's a tight knit community. So like I can have people take out the trash for me. My mom comes to the gym in the morning before work. She can clean up for me. Just all those little things. Like I could depend on that. But the problem there is like in a smaller gym, it's harder to be as profitable as the bigger gyms, I'm assuming.
Right.
But it depends on how you look at it. Cause like my overhead's not very high. I don't have employees. I don't have all the little expenses that a big gym has. But at the same time, when you look at it from the big gym point of view, I'm assuming people think, oh, you just own a gym. People just come work out. There's membership. Mm-hmm. Like, as we all know, there's so much that goes into it. There's the billing. There's the extra revenue. There's the problem solving from like upset members. And it always goes back to like billing issues at the big gyms. Like there's always little right. things like the annual management fees that they have, the join fees, and they always kind of have issues arise. And then like the employees, like you need to have, from my experience there, it was like, looking back, I didn't think about it, but the most important thing there is like a team. Mm-hmm. So like if you own a big gym, you have to have a good team that likes your vision, likes your community, and they're going to help you succeed. So like in a small gym like this, it's really just up to me, maybe a couple other people, and like the community itself that lives here. But it's funny because like going back to that other gym, I keep going back and forth. We had separate ownerships. And I think about this all the time, like especially when I like do the whole education thing on like how to run a business, how to make it better. The whole employee and team building thing comes up. I think about how we were around the clock when it was you, Derek, Dave, George, like all of us, like the core group.
Yeah.
And I cared about this shit way more. Like, even though I wasn't getting paid like all the money, like you guys are cool. We got along. We all had the same like ideas. Even if one of us weren't doing our parts, I'd understand like why you'd be on my ass, why you'd be on his ass, why Dave like did what he did. And then Derek sold the place and then it shifted to other management, other owners.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't like just a publicly traded company thing. It was just the management changed in house. And then we had to, like you were gone, or even like if you weren't gone, weren't as involved. And then I had other managers from like the Fort Myers locations. It just wasn't like a good fit for me. I don't think it was a good fit for Josh either. Like we had to do those Tuesday calls all the time. And we could just tell like we did not care. Like we would be the guys that like would be silent because we weren't paying attention and we'd get like bitched at, you know? So like it's a lot of rambling there, but what I'm getting at is it depends. As a gym owner, what kind of team you have underneath you, that's how you're going to succeed. So like me, when I shift to the model of having people underneath me, having a team, having some sort of management, even if it's not going to be like a big staff like that, I have to create like the vision to make them want the gym to grow.
Yeah.
And then like going back to here, it's just, we're kind of limited. So I have to like always broaden my horizon. And then one more thing, like for, again, for my role, people we're always like, yeah, owning a gym sucks. Like you make no money and all that. And I think that's so false. I just think those people that think that don't have the, I don't want to say the work, like work ethic, but I don't think they have the mind to like think in all those avenues and how to bring money in. And I got the experience from you, like you and around the clock, like we saw all that from other gym.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned so many good things in there. You also mentioned, yeah, the team has to be good, but the leadership has to be good too, and like share a good vision.
Yeah.
What's like both of your visions for where you're taking your facilities in the future? Like, is it growth? Is it keeping it small and just growing with what you have? Or
I think I don't know if it's too generalized, but I think like as a good entrepreneur, I think growth is always in the back of your mind. So I know kind of Jordan alluded to like, you know, moving pretty soon. And I think I want to do that too. My gym can only scale up so much where it's at to where it kind of becomes problematic. The way that I have my gym model is there's a lot of subcontracting trainers that come in and do their own thing. So they have clients that are paying a lot of money to use certain, you know, to, you know, do their workout routine. And if they're going to having to bounce around because there's other members working out, they're not going to want to be there anymore. So there's a nice sweet spot there where eventually, you know, you're just going to have to move up. I know I'm never really satisfied with like just, you know, what I have. I always want to push it a little bit more. So yeah, I think scaling up is always, you know, something that you always want to do. And I think eventually if you don't keep going and, you know, keep up with the competition, and you're not going to keep making the same amount of money, you just have to keep up with it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's always the answer, I would say, for everybody that wants to stay in business.
You're talking about. No, I'm just kidding. So like the growth, right? Yeah. So like for me, it's kind of like, I would say this is almost unconventional, but for me, like in this spot I'm at, it's a smaller spot. I figured out a way to make pretty good money for myself. I figured out a way to make money for the gym where I can consistently upgrade the equipment. I will admit I don't really make money from the gym itself at the moment because I like it's profitable, but I'm always using it to try and improve the gym, which I guess is good in the beginning because long-term outlook and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But like from a personal standpoint, I could do this forever where I'm at because like I make my own schedule. I do literally whatever the fuck I want all day, every day. People are cool here. I run multiple powerlifting meets per year because of this place. And so like, I just do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. But I always like he said, like growth is always like in the back of your mind. Most people are going to want to grow for like just the financial aspect. I want to grow because I feel like myself and like the community here has so much more to offer. And it's such a limited space here, 3,500 square foot. We're going to move into a space that's 5,700 square foot. And like right there, we could fit probably off the top of my head, maybe 200 more members, like over the course of like a month, like to build the membership there. So financially that's good, but everything is like a funnel. So if I get 200 new members and 10% of that, which is 20, want to do powerlifting meets, that's 20 new members of the sport that like I'm a big supporter of and what I promote here. And then like that's increased revenue for the meets. Mm. My training, if I can ever get any other coaches in here, that would be great. Their coaching, because that's another thing. I want to model my business off of another gym a little bit that's up in Clearwater. They started out in a industrial park. It's called Gorilla Bench. And it was like no AC, not many people. Like to get in, there's a key underneath like a doormat or some shit. And now they have a 7,000 square foot building. They have coaches up there making six figures. They have a general manager. Like it's the evolution of that was pretty inspiring. And they do the same thing. They hold the meets throughout the state. And I want to be able to provide that opportunity for people as well. So that kind of what I'm getting at for me is it's like not really about me. I just want to provide the experience and opportunities and community for other people because I've seen a lot of people like this sounds corny, but so many people like change their lives because of like the gym, whether it was my gym, his gym, our old gym, the sport of powerlifting. And it's just a domino effect. And I just like seeing that. And as you know, I love money.
Yeah.
And like that just comes to me as a byproduct of that. Mm-hmm. So like it used to be like a whole mindset was like, I need to work this many hours, make this much money, do this. But I've figured out that the better experience you can create for people and more people, that money just somehow just shows up. It like multiplies.
You guys are both building communities within your gym. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because it is, and I think, I mean, I don't know as much Jordan or Josh about your gym specifically, but I know Jordan, like you have a very specific community, which I would call in the best possible way, like just it is what it is. Everybody can be themselves. There's no like judgment, but you also have to not be somebody who's going to be offended all the time because everyone's just being exactly who they are.
Yeah. Like it's kind of weird here because there's so many personalities, so many age groups, so many like I'll be honest, there's fucking situations in here where it's just like a TV show where mm-hmm. like, fuck, like we should capitalize on this. But everyone kind of knows it. They laugh about it, let it be. And it's not secluded to just like certain groups of people. It's like all groups of people. Like we have like the older crowd, the younger crowd, the powerlifting crowd, the people that just hang out, like we have so many different groups in here, but what's cool about it is they all get along. Look, Dan Trainor's walking in.
That's awesome.
So there's that. And kind of lost my train of thought there, but they all get along.
Hi.
And we have... They all support each other pretty much.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, it is what it is. But I think without all these like personalities in here, this place wouldn't be what it is. Mm-hmm.
Is that, let me ask you one more question before we move over to Joshua. Is it purposeful? Like somebody might walk in here and be like, oh, some of these banners are meant to like be offensive or not offensive, but to get me riled up or to like play to a certain demographic. Or is it just, no, this is my sense of humor. Or this is my aesthetic. And if you're down with it, cool. If you're not, like.
So there's really no thought process in the banners, right? Like there's a few in here where it's like, it started as a joke, like the don't be a pussy one. Like that was my garage.
Yeah.
Like that was just when it was just me in there. Like, but I brought it here and that seems to be like one of those trademark banners I probably can't ever get rid of because that's like an indirect branding thing. But like, if you look around here, all these banners are so mixed match. Like they're powerlifting companies that really, I don't really buy them as like a, hey, like, look what this says. It's more of, I support these companies and I like to give my money to the companies I support. They give back. So it's like advertisement for them. We're on it. Like we're doing this podcast on another side of the gym. We have two sides, like with the gym side, which is more of like the powerlifting stuff, and the other side, which is just the machines. And on the machine side, there is a shitload of local business banners. Mm-hmm. And that's just two things. One, I want to give back and have those banners just show, because every banner up here is affiliated with someone that comes in here. And it's also a revenue booster because they pay me a fee to have their banner up. And I kind of made the fee pretty damn reasonable. Mm-hmm. So like, it was just like I feed you, you feed me basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for the demographic thing as a whole, that answer, I really think we cater to pretty much everyone, even though it comes off as a, hate the word hardcore, but like people say hardcore gym, but it's really not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Josh? What's the community that you're building at the Vault?
So one of my biggest flexes, as the kids say, internally, I guess I don't like go around bragging, but it just makes me so happy is, so I leverage Google quite a bit to get leads and things like that. And I have a ton of Google reviews and I despise people that like offer like 10% off if you leave me a good review and stuff like that. Like I like it like to be organic and I think that's way better. And people actually read stuff, like people don't understand. They don't look at just 5 stars. Okay, cool. I'm going to go there. They read it to see what it's like. Right. So there is so many amazing reviews from people. Like one of them is, for example, from a girl that wanted to really like improve her lifestyle, but she did not like we're right down the road from Amped actually, or from Nonstop, whatever it's called. So, but she didn't like being at Crunch or LA Fitness and she had like horrible social anxiety. And then she like sent me a long text message like a week into her working out and then wrote this amazing review. And the message she sent me was basically saying like, thank you so much for building this gym. I have a place where I can actually like work on myself and, you know, be better. And I don't have, you know, I'm not uncomfortable and things. And then the review was similar to that. But I encourage you to go, like when you're bored, go read the Google reviews because so many of them were from people like around town or in vacation or whatever it is. And just saying like how awesome, like a lot of them say like how cool the gym owner is and like he was talking to me and making me feel comfortable. And it's a lot of that, just like I love hearing people that people are feeling comfortable and they're in the space that I built for them. And that was the whole purpose in the beginning. So that's kind of the biggest culture for me. Like I like to introduce everybody. And I'm sure people, you know, people in my from my gym are gonna laugh at me saying that because a lot of times, you know, there's maybe 125, 150 members. And I introduce everybody 10 times to somebody and they're like, we already met. But I just like everyone to be comfortable. So that's kind of what it has turned into. And it wasn't really in on my mind in the beginning. But then I just kind of listened to the audience a little bit and listened to what people want. And we were, you know, Jordan and I both were kind of trained so well by you. And we took little things from...
I only did this podcast so I could get compliments.
Don't laugh about that. But we took little things from the gym and that we kind of noticed that people didn't really like that much or didn't feel comfortable about or whatever, and then just remove that from ours. And I think it's safe to say that both of us leave a lot of money on the table or walk away from a lot of money by not collecting those annual fees or, you know, different little things like that. But it definitely makes people feel a lot more comfortable. So that's kind of what, you know, what my culture is. I don't necessarily have like as much powerlifting as Jordan, or, you know, there's like a bit of a lot of different types of people. So that's the main thing, is just making sure people feel comfortable, and they do. And it makes me really happy.
Yeah. So like pretty much everything he just said, I could probably just go back in time and just copy paste that and just switch a few words around, because that's kind of how I, like, that's kind of the word I was looking for, like organic. It just kind of grew on its own. And like he said, there's so many people that will like make comments to me about how like they don't like other gyms. They're very glad they found this place. And that's what I like. And like, whether it's like the sport of powerlifting, I just like that people can come in here and be comfortable. Mm-hmm. And like, we have to realize, which we already have, like, we're not for everyone. Like, there's many different demographics. And I think you have to realize, in a kind of like, I call this like a community type gym, people need to find their fit. Like, I don't want to bash like Planet Fitness or Crunch or whatever, but some people like to go to gyms where they just like use a few machines, get a quick workout and go home. People come in here just to hang out on their days off. So that's what I like. Like over there right now in the other room, we have two kids. Like, one's like 10 years old, another one's 14. They come in here every day with their mom. They work out. They're doing competitions now. She does the competition. Her husband does the competition. She came from Anytime Fitness. He never worked out. So it's just like, you got whole families coming here doing shit together. So
that's really cool. When, I mean, you just mentioned it, like when you talk about success stories or different clients that you guys have had come through here, what are some of the stories that stick out to you, or what are some of the lives that have been really impacted by what you guys are doing?
So like I was saying, like, you know, the girl I was talking about with social anxiety, that to me, that's like a big success story, because it's not weight loss or anything like that. But I think that a lot of times, if we can change someone's mindset, that's bigger than something physical that you can, you know, you can really see, because that's going to change their entire life. So stuff like that. There is, you know, I have a couple specialty certifications in senior fitness. So being in Sarasota, the younger me thought that that was a pretty good idea, and it's paid off pretty well. So I have clients that I've worked with all the time. Like, I had, you know, like an older lady that, you know, had a walker. And then after a month, we graduated to a cane. And then I had a rule after another month that she had to leave her cane by the door when she came in. And I even put a little peg for her to hang it on to make her feel special. But then that kind of gave her the confidence to not really use it as much, or not rely on it anyways on a daily basis. So things like that are cool. The same lady was like tickled to death one day, because she came in and she told me that she took her bra off on her own for the first time in like 20 years. And she was so excited about it. So just like little things like that make a big difference to me, because I know it's changed someone's entire like lifestyle and, you know, how that they just get around at home and things like that. So that's pretty big.
That's so cool. Those little things are really cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
So lots of success stories. There's one I always think about, like when we talk about stuff like this, is, I'll just say her name. There's a girl here, Lori. She used to go to Around the Clock. She was one of the very first people that like I ever had contact with. She did the boot camp program. Super, like, she'll say it to you, I don't give a fuck. Like, at times, like, very negative mindset, gets pissed about things, whatever. We'll show up at the gym, or not show up for a few weeks at a time, come back, and then, like, she's even walked out at me at the boot camp in the past for just having her do something. So she comes here, and like, we had a great relationship through all the time too. But like, I hold my, I think it was my second powerlifting meet, and I get a Venmo, which with her name on it, with the registration fee. And I was like, huh? No. And then she joined my gym because of that. And she has been wildly consistent since then. She So like in a powerlifting meet, there's like hundreds of spectators. She wouldn't even do shit in front of like three people. Mm-hmm. She goes and does that, fails her first squat, like on like a misstep or like she lost her balance. She's about to freak the fuck out. I'm like, oh, worst case scenario. She comes back, gets the rest of her lifts, has a perfect meet. I think she's done pretty much everyone I put on since. And like she squats like almost 270 pounds now. That first meet, she did 150. Don't even think she bends 110 maybe at her first meet. She was like 143, 138 now. And she's approaching a 350-pound deadlift now.
Wow.
So like I always think about that, like just the whole like how she approached things. And even though sometimes now like those personality traits show up because we're just people, she continues to come in and make the progress. And I think like I don't want to take the credit, but I facilitate everything. Mm-hmm. And that creates like the opportunities for people to like have their success stories. So that's like a big one. Really, we have so many. I don't want to like go down the rabbit hole there. But like if I just look around this gym, like that guy over there joined the gym and he told me he's been looking to like get a routine in. And he's like 6 days a week at 5 a.m. He's here before me every morning. He comes to all the meets and helps break everything down now. So he's like part of a group. That girl over there, she's lost like 30 pounds. She comes out of Sarasota, competes in all my meets. That guy over there, another one, he's learning to pay his fucking bill on time because of this place. Like, there's little things like that. Like, always delinquent. I love that. Yeah.
I have one more that I just thought about while Jordan was talking, and it's a pretty crazy story. So, but also before I get into that, Jordan hit the nail on the head with like not liking to take credit for what somebody else did. And I think that's important. A lot of trainers in particular do that. And they say like, look what I can do. Look what I can do. Well, that person did it. You just gave them the blueprint. So when you said you facilitate, that's a lot better. So I never like to take credit either. Like I don't post someone's transformation. I'm more than thrilled if they post it and tag me in it. But I think that that's something personal for them and a personal journey. But I had this client that was 70 plus. And she fell in the shower and broke her femur. Mm. And so she couldn't get to her phone to call the cops or anything like that for a while because she broke her leg, right? Mm-hmm. So she, I guess it was a walk-in shower. So she had to slide around on the floor for 14 hours trying to find a way to get to a phone or whatever. And eventually, sometime during that process, she passed out and then came back to, eventually got to her phone to call the ambulance. And then, yeah, so then, you know, she was fine. And what's even greater about the story is I started, as soon as she got done with physical therapy and stuff, I was training her and I swear she rebounded like an 18-year-old would. Mm. And so that was really cool. But one funny thing is she had messaged me when she was on the way to the hospital to tell me that she wasn't going to make it the next day for our training session. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, don't even think about me right now. But then later she had told me I was the only person on her mind because, you know, why she messaged me, because she was just thinking about the gym and how she may not be here today without the gym. So wow. I thought that was pretty cool. Like something cool things like that to hear.
Yeah, that's super powerful. Other things that you guys do is a lot of give back to the community. And I know, Jordan, you just recently had the Florida First Responders and Veterans Power Games. What is that? And is like, what's going to be the evolution of that?
Yeah. So like, as I mentioned before, I hold multiple powerlifting meets per year. We have some staple ones. And this year I wanted to bring a new model to it. So when I came up in powerlifting, I trained with two police officers, Chad Walker, canine officer in Northport, and a retired cop, Donnie Daubert, and they used to go to an event, I don't know, like across the state somewhere called the police and fire games. So I wanted to kind of bring that back. I will admit that was kind of a failure on my part in the beginning because like I was getting zero registrations. I guess I shouldn't say I was a failure for it, but I overestimated how much participation I would get from like fire, police, because I tried to make it like just that group of people. And then I opened it up to everyone and then it started a little more. And I wanted to do it as a charity meet because I did do a charity meet 2 years ago around the same time frame. And I wanted to continue like that kind of thing going on. I can refer to that later. But for this one, I wanted to find like a charity for like a police, fire, military organization. And I didn't really know how I wanted to do that. And I'm really not like a fan of charities because where's the money going? You know, mm-hmm. There's no transparency and I don't want to like raise a few $1,000 and just give it away and just no idea what it did. So as the meet was not shaping up to be that good, I know of a firefighter in here, well, not in here, but that has like affiliation with some people in here, cops. There's a girl in here, her husband's a firefighter. I've heard about a story from her. A couple cops told me about him. His name is Victor Cleveland. Like I said, I don't know who he is at all, except like that. And he has cancer, stage 4. Can't really give you the specifics on it, but just know it's not good. And so I announced that we were going to do all sponsorship money goes to him. And I made it like a lower barrier to entry. So like it was $200. You could donate more. You could have a booth at the event, but 100% of that goes to his family. And they opened up to the public as well. You could donate whatever you want. 100% of that goes to it. So like, long story short, we ended up raising like $7,800. Mm. And what I realized there is like an aha moment is like, unfortunately there has to be like a sick person or something like that, or like a bad event for people to come together. But it brought a lot of people together. And at that meet, if you looked around, it looked like I had almost a full house like I had for my other big meets. Like, to put it in perspective, I'll have 50 plus lifters on a day and the place is full. This time I had 28 lifters and the place was almost just as full. So then we had like the community of firefighters come in. That was really cool to see. So it was just like, it brought more eyes to the sport, brought more eyes to that. And it was just because of that one unfortunate event that we decided to raise money for. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess the next question was like, why would I do like the charity event for that? So like, two reasons. One, I like to give back. And like I said, I just like when the community comes together. And I want to grow, not just the gym, because I don't really expect the gym to grow because of that. But like, I think it grows the sport and it kind of puts eyes on the community that is built here. Like, some people will potentially come be a part of it.
What you guys have kind of mentioned it, I guess, actually. But what do you think is like the number one or two thing that people can do to maintain a healthy lifestyle? What are the two key factors? And I say you kind of mentioned it because I feel like you guys both talked mindset. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's the number one thing or is there something else?
You just have to make it a part of your life. I mean, like, the healthy lifestyle, as annoyed as people are going to get at this, there are certain people, like, it's literally like, unless it's barring sickness or anything like that, it's the easiest thing you can do because all you have to do is just move your body and make healthier choices. So like, it's just, if you can make it a system in your life, even though like the results you want to see aren't going to come overnight, like it could take years depending on how serious you want to take it. All you have to do is just do some work, eat a little better, and you're going to feel better. But of course, there's levels to that. Like, if you want to lose a lot of weight or if you want to build a lot of muscle and get very strong, then yeah, like you have to be a lot more all in than other people. But if you just want to feel better, like, and slowly get better, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Josh.
I kind of think that, well, definitely like Jordan said, I think when you make it more of a lifestyle, a lot of people that sign up in the beginning of the year, like New Year's resolution, no, not hating on that at all. But if you're consistent with it, you know, if that's the start of your journey and it just really never ends, like, it's just like entrepreneurship, right? Like, you don't have an end goal necessarily. It's the journey that you like, you know, that you're into. Like, if you say you're going to work out until you lose 15 pounds and then you go on with your life and start making bad habits again, you're going to be back in the gym saying the same thing the following year. If you say like, you know, I need to go to the gym to get healthy, that's true. But if you just, you know, that becomes part of your routine, just like brushing your teeth or anything else, you know, that's what really makes the biggest differences in people's lives, because it's all about the consistency and like, not just did you got in shape once this year, but then you fell out of it. You know, you just consistently stayed, you know, in good shape, getting better and better, I think is the biggest trick.
Are you guys so sick of hearing about Ozempic? I mean, it's like the first thing that anybody talks about now, so with like, losing weight. Or
before we get into that, I just want to piggyback on one thing. Like, we both gave very like cliche answers on that. But I also think we have to recognize there are people that are going to the gym every day for decades, and they're going to look the exact same. They're going to probably even get fatter. And what like isn't a big deal, but like what I see is like, if they weren't coming to the gym consistently, because they come because they like it, they like they have goals. Honestly, they're probably just not going to be disciplined enough to like achieve them, and that's like fine. Like I said, there are levels to like what you want to do, but those people coming to the gym and at least doing something, they are somewhat balancing out their negative lifestyle on the other spectrum. Like there are people that are going to like continue to drink every night, continue to like eat not healthy foods and stuff, but like the gym is going to be damage control for them. And the reason why they're sticking around is because like they probably like their surroundings.
Yeah.
So like, does that make sense? Like kind of what I'm getting at. And then as for the Ozempic thing, it might be a good thing for some people. I mean, I'm not going to act like I know the ins and outs of it. Like we're going to see the headlines. It hasn't been out long enough for us to really have like very good opinions on it, but I'm going to assume that even despite all the headlines, if it's not good for someone, I'm assuming it's probably better than being hundreds of pounds overweight. Because if you take someone that's 400 pounds and they use something actually to help them, like a lot of people are going to like get on their high horse, but, just work out and exercise. It's like, yeah, they're 400 fucking pounds. So like, let's help them get the first 100 off.
Yeah.
Like through appetite control, because to my understanding, that's mainly what that is. And then maybe they can start working out. But on the like there are a lot of ways to look at it too, because those same people losing all that weight, they're probably losing a lot of muscle mass because they're just not eating. They're not moving their body. And then some instances, like they are technically going to be fatter, because if you look at body fat percentage, they're going to lose that body fat, lose that muscle mass. Muscle mass is a lot easier to lose than body fat. And like the proportions, they're going to have more fat on their body than muscle when it's all said and done. And that's not really a good thing. But like anything else, pros and cons. And I think people should not be so quick to like attack people that want to use it, because like, it's just diet and exercise, bro. Just do it. But like, how about we just do a little bit of everything? I mean,
Yeah.
So with that specifically, from what I understand is typically if you lose weight naturally, it obviously depends on how fast you're losing it and stuff like that. But the weight that you lose, 1/3 of that is typically muscle and 2/3 are fat. With Ozempic, it's like the opposite. So 2/3 is muscle, 1/3 is fat. So you're literally losing muscle faster than you are fat, which obviously is problematic. So you're kind of trying to lose weight to look better physically, but it can be, you know, this is with anything, not specifically Ozempic, but if it's making you sicker or, you know, like hurting you or making you unhealthy, like it's not really, like it's about what's inside, not like what you see in the mirror. So yeah, I mean, I don't really love that, but we, you know, like as like personal trainers can say whatever they want about weight loss. You don't really, like the only real way that you lose weight in the gym is by building muscle. It's not, you're not burning sufficiently enough calories to do much damage in anything. So it's hard to lose weight without, like you can't lose weight without changing your diet at all, but you can lose weight and change your diet not working out and you're still losing weight, but you can't, yeah, so if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's kind of confusing, but yeah. So I think really at the end of the day, it's just, you know, you have to change your diet up a little bit, because whatever you're going to do, whatever you do is only going to make a difference when you're doing it. And then when you stop, you're just going to go back to that weight again and you're just going to find another fad diet and stuff like that. So
To kind of wrap up, what would you guys say to anybody who is considering doing what you did? Starting their own facility, whether it be kind of niche or a more of a personal training facility, what would you say to them?
So like, if I could do it over again, I would have liked to have like more of a vision, I guess. Cause like I was, like I said, I was kind of forced into doing it, even though I wanted to do it. I was just kind of too scared to do it. And like, if I could go back and just plan, like if I had to open another gym in another location, start from scratch, I'm like, all right, I have a vision for X. How am I going to do it? What am I going to lay out? Who am I going to aim to attract? And what am I going to try to like build with them, like for each other. Mm-hmm. So that's like, even though I did that already, I'm not going to act like I did it on purpose because I really didn't. They kind of just came together and I just like grew off of that. So if I would just do the same thing, we'd have a better plan going into it. And like, no one wants to talk about like the finances behind it. You have to weigh like the pros and the cons. Like if you're starting a smaller gym, you shouldn't, in my opinion, go take out a $60,000 loan and get all matching equipment from like a one specific company, because in order to pay your overhead, in order to pay yourself and all that stuff, what ROI you're going to get when you have to pay back all that equipment? Mm-hmm. Like you're essentially paying back oversight, like a brand new truck pickup, like a pickup truck loan, just because of some equipment.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I think when I first started, I was like almost 100% driven by the fear of failure. Like mm-hmm. I just did not want to fail. So I would like do whatever. This is like a true story. The first 4 months of the gym, I fasted. And so I fasted for like 20 hours, not eating, and 4 hours eating, literally. So I didn't have to stop and eat, and I could just work constantly. So just kind of being afraid of that is what led me to do all these things. But I made a lot of brash decisions on things that cost me money, but nothing crazy. Like a stupid, silly example of that is I once bought, I needed shirts with my logo on it. And in order to get like, it was like $12.50 a piece or something like that. I bought 100 shirts, but they're all white. Mm. And turns out white shirts aren't really a big hit with people that work out, and you know, they're messy and whatever. So I ended up with about 50 that didn't get bought, and I just handed them all out, which wasn't a big deal, but that was a silly lesson that I learned. But definitely planning things out would have helped quite a bit. I'm definitely happy how everything worked out though. So it would have been easier, you know, planning things, but just going for it and really like not giving up, I think would be the biggest piece of advice. Yeah.
Kind of tagged in with that is, did you guys have naysayers? Like, did you have anybody that was like, don't do that?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I had some family that were, you know, scared and stuff. And a lot of it is, you know, In the 70s or whatever, it was like not even, it was like, you're insane if you're going to drop out of school or leave your job or whatever. People just didn't do things like that, but they didn't have the same things at their disposal either. So I think it's a lot more common now. So it's funny, I didn't have like people like naysayers, but I had people that were calling to congratulate me and things like that, but I knew it wasn't authentic. And it was almost like annoying when people would say like, oh, good job, I'm so proud of you. And in the back of my head, I'm like, maybe it's not an ill-intended message, but it's like, you didn't reserve the right to be proud of me. You know, you barely know me or something like that. And, you know, then once you really get things going and you're off steady, you don't hear as many congratulations, because it's like people want to congratulate you for doing it. And then once you get there and it's actually working out, they're jealous that you took that risk. So now it's like you don't really hear much from people. So yeah, I guess that's the biggest thing that I heard.
I don't think so. I mean, like, I feel like everyone's natural reaction to someone wanting to do something, or whether they're doing it or not, is they look for the negative in everything. So like let's say I wanted to open up a pizza shop. People are like, oh, like, but you know, like cheese is expensive now. It's like, oh, shut the fuck up. Who cares?
Yeah.
You figure it out. So like with the gym, like I always think, so I always remember a comment. It was a very passive aggressive comment I heard when we were at Around the Clock. It was, can I say names? Like, does it matter?
I'm
just gonna use like letter. Yeah, fuck it. He didn't really like me much. He didn't really like Josh much either. And I liked him for a while, but we were doing one of our meetings, and there was a guy who's a top performing trainer from another Fort Myers gym. I remember in the conversation, he went off and did his own thing after the COVID stuff. And then I think other people wanted to do the same. And I feel like he was talking at me and maybe at Josh as well, but I think it was more at me, because like he was in the office looking at me, and he was like, everyone wants to do their own thing, but they don't realize like they just can't do that like without us. And I was like, this guy's fucking stupid. I'm doing it right now. He doesn't even know it. So like, I always think about like, sorry, if you might be listening to this, like, you're not fucking stupid. But at the time I thought you were being fucking stupid. And like, yeah, we're still friends on Facebook. Like he's talking at people like, cause he was acting like we all needed him or some sort of like structure. And like, if we did our own thing, we wouldn't be able to do it. And it's funny because I can see why he was thinking that, because like I was running a training department at a very low performing gym because we had literally no employees, probably poor leadership from many different areas, maybe even myself. But like I said, going back to the community thing, like we just didn't care. Mm-hmm. So like now that I care about it, like it's kind of doing it myself. So like that was like one example. But overall, I don't want to say people like told me I couldn't do it, but I'm sure like people were like, oh, like that's a big risk. Like what if it goes wrong? But the way I look at pretty much everything is like I could lose everything and I could just get it back. Like it's not really hard. Like,
no.
Like you could like the hurricane, right? Like it come right now, wipe everything out. Like I could just start it back up. Even if I have to leverage a bunch of money that's not mine, I'd figure out how to make it successful. It's just how I am.
That's a really interesting story that you say, because I hope, and I don't know if this like came across this way, but then and now I hope to be a leader that's like, I hope I give you skills that make you want to stay with me to keep learning. Mm-hmm. But if they don't, then you can go out and like do your own thing and reflect back and be like, oh, I'm really glad I did that job for 5 years or 10 years because it taught me all this. And now I like have my financial freedom or just my freedom of time to do my own thing. And I think that's really powerful in leadership. I'm sure as you guys grow and if you hire someone, hopefully that's what you're going to then impact to them is like, I'll teach you all this. And hopefully like you stay with me because you love the vision and you love what I taught you. But if you do decide to take a risk and do your own thing, like I got your back, like I'm here to support you.
Yeah. Like not to keep like sucking your metaphorical dick here, but that one conversation we had at my house about like the guy, those dumbasses playing golf with the biggest balls. Like, like I always think about that because like, you just have to do it. Like who, like what am I going to get evicted? Like,
right.
That's how I see things. It really doesn't matter. And let's say I don't want to do this anymore. I can just go figure out something else to do. Mm-hmm. Like we don't have to do anything. We just do what we want to do. Because you know, like I like to do what I want to do. So I do. And I don't really care what other people say.
I love that.
Yeah.
What's crazy is I remember driving up to one of the around the clock meets. We were carpooling. It was Jordan, me and David. And I forget it was before or after. It might've been after. And we're kind of like, it was a rough meeting maybe. And we kind of were all thinking like, is the company going to close down? Like what's going to happen? And I remember Jordan saying like, I guarantee, like what's crazy is I guarantee that if the company closed tomorrow, we'll all be fine by Wednesday. Like we'll all have something to do and we're all going to be in a better place, you know? So I think like things happen for a reason. And it just kind of like sometimes if you're scared to jump, the universe will just push you off and let you go. So that's pretty funny that Jordan's still kind of talking like that.
Yeah. I love that.
Like at the time, like us three were doing pretty good with the company. So like to the outside eye, it's like, well, what if they close down? Like you're fucked. Like I was making a lot of money at around the clock, like especially at that time for what I was used to. Like when I saw my paychecks, I was like, holy shit. And when I saw my taxes, I was also like, holy shit. And like, you know what I was doing.
Yeah.
So like, yeah. But then I also figured out like, if you already got to that point once, you could just do it again, just through different avenues.
That's
and like
awesome.
Dave, he went and did real estate during COVID. He seems to be doing fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, before we wrap up, is there anything that you guys want to share with our listeners that we didn't cover?
I don't know. I think if you're a trainer in the Sarasota area and you are tired of getting raped and by corporate gyms and the money that you could be making, you know, come over to my gym, hit me up. You can just send me a message on Instagram. I'll help you out, help you get started. So your client, I guarantee, wants to pay you all of the money. You know, like you come, like if they start paying you 100%, you're not going to have 50 clients to pay your bills, right? So then you have to have way less clients, so you're able to give that client way better service. Then they're getting way better results, and you're going to have amazing retention, and that client's going to stick with you forever. So you're not going to have to worry about getting new clients all the time.
To piggyback off of that, like, Josh and I worked for a big corporate gym, and we saw how the trainers were being paid. Like, I am not against that model at all, because the businesses need to make their money. But I think from what we're from or coming from when it comes to developing coaches or having coaches work at our gyms, we know what it's like to be in that spot. So I think that was also like a big source of inspiration for us. Like, he's got a good personal training thing going on over there. I have nothing. There's just really not much in the area. Like, you got Dan over there, mm-hmm. but like, he knows what it's like. I know what it's like. So I'd rather be able to provide a place for people to make their living, do it in a fun manner, comfortable manner, and no like major rules, I guess. So like, everyone can be happy. So there's that. And like, you have all these, like, I'm assuming your audience is more small business related, mm-hmm. right? So I think what you're asking is like, do we want to like mention anything? And I'm not really trying to be like an inspirational person or anything here, but I just say, if you want to do something, just do it. Reach out to as many resources as you can. Learn a little bit. Realize that you're going to lose money. You're probably going to fail in many ways. But the way I see it is, the more money you want to make or the better you want to do, that's going to take more of those failures. So like, if you want to make $100,000, like, you're going to lose a shitload of money getting there, but then you're going to surpass 100, and that 10 to 15 grand you lost on like you said, like t-shirts or like things you want to fix in the gym that didn't need to be fixed like too soon, like, you're going to make that back.
Mm. I want to say also with that, like, if you're trying to do that, and especially like we talked about opening gyms, if you're trying to do something like that, quit your bullshit job at JCPenney's and focus on your gym 100%.
Yeah.
Because if you have, you know, like, if you have a plan B, you're basically planning to fail. So quit that. Make the gym, you have to do it. Not it's a little fun passion project. Like, it's something that you want to do. Make yourself, you have to do it. Like, burn the ship to where you have to make it work. And it's going to work.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. I love being here. I love talking to you guys. Thank you for joining me in conversation. To learn more about the show or to support our efforts to elevate our local economies by advertising or sponsoring the show, please visit conversationmill.com. The business practices discussed on the podcast and the opinions shared by guests and your hosts are for entertainment and educational purposes only and does not constitute professional advice. There are no silver bullets in business or life, and what works in one market may not work in another. Always engage legal or expert advice when making decisions in your business.